Oh, the golden gold of Ireland's only seen by leprechauns, for we mine it in the middle of the night. And we chop it into nuggets and we pile it into pots, which we bury for the early morning light.
It's Bill Laff and Harry Tynowitz. Harry is filling in for Wendy. She'll be back on Monday. Rick Goldschmidt joins us live in studio. We've had Rick on a bunch of times. Rick is the official Rankin-Bass historian, biographer, and archivist. Nobody knows more about the magic that was Rankin-Bass than Rick Goldschmidt, who's written several books about it and speaks about it. Rick, thanks for being here. How are
thanks
you?
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
What were we just listening to? What is that?
That was Art Carney from The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, which has some funny lines in it, like, when your shoes get holy, don't come to me to save your souls.
Oh, truer words have never been spoken. Now, almost everybody is familiar with the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials because we saw them as kids and they reran them year after year after year. However, they did a lot of specials like this one, the St. Patrick's Day special, that weren't seen very often, right? How many times did that air, do you think?
Right. Probably aired about three times. Some of their specials only aired once or twice.
Yeah.
That one, I think they were intending it to be a Leprechaun St. Patrick's Day special, but they threw Christmas into the mix with Christmas in Killarney so that they could air it at Christmas. I think they got a little scared it wasn't going to be an annual
thing. Really? They knew before they made it, we better cover ourselves and do a Christmas version as well.
Right, exactly.
You know, Mickey Rooney, Burl Ives, Art Carney, were celebrities coming to Rankin-Bass saying, hey, put me in your specials?
Well, Arthur Rankin knew that he would introduce them to a different audience than their fan base and tell them, this is something you can show your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren.
Right.
I mean, it really was something that was special, and that some, like Burl Ives, for instance, that's what he's known for,
right?
Is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sam the Snowman.
He's not really known so much for the big country that he won the Academy Award for, or Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or all the great things that he did. So it really did introduce him to a totally different kind of audience, a family audience.
Think of how different that special would have been if he had been Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Sam the Snowman.
Would have taken a totally different tone. But you got to wonder, like, if they were trying to appeal to kids, the names Fred Astaire and Mickey Rooney and Burl Ives might not come up. So I think they were pretty savvy saying, we're making kid specials, but with some of the classic older stars, right?
Yeah, and they had a writer named Romeo Muller who didn't write down to kids.
Yeah.
And that's why these things have lasted 50-plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're written with underdog characters that you really identify with, and then the villains get reformed.
And, yeah.
I mean, it's such a satisfying way of telling a story that it's lasted for so many years. They don't write like that today.
Right.
They write down with, you know, farting jokes and dumbed down stuff to just grab an audience, and, you know, people laugh at that, but it's not going to last for 50 years.
Right. There was also, there was a cadence to the writing. You mentioned Romeo Muller. I know he was the chief writer on these, but they had a certain cadence to them that was just so memorable. It was the way it was written. The example I always think of was in one of the Christmas specials where they leave the baby at the door and they go, it's a baby, Wingo, a baby what, Wingo, a baby, baby, Lingo, like that. I just love the way it was written.
Yeah, that was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I'm actually writing a book on the making of Santa Claus is Coming to Town right now with the Daydreamer, because that really had such a charm and a magic
Daydreamer to it. Was the movie about Hans Christian Andersen, right?
Right, and that one had
Danny Kaye, was he in it?
No, he was in The Enchanted World of Danny Kaye, The Emperor's New Clothes, but in that movie they got Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch, Ray Bolger as the Pie Man. They had Haley Mills and Burl Ives and Boris Karloff, so many great Academy Award winning stars like Sesawa Hayakawa. It's just a magical movie, so I'm doing a book about that
too. That's excellent.
And the Rankin-Bass, you know, Christmas specials, they were for kids, but kind of like an episode of Law and Order SVU. They would always like find a way to end the segment
right
on like some, you know, turning point of the script, like, yeah, you know, oh my God, it's the Abominable Snowman, you know, dun dun dun.
Yeah. They were really good at playing up that end of it, weren't they?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't say enough about the writing for Romeo Muller. It was just unbelievable that they found this guy.
Yeah.
And
what was he doing prior to this? Was he doing other?
He was writing for Jack Benny.
Oh, really?
And Milton Berle.
Oh.
And he also wrote plays. They actually produced one of his plays off Broadway called The Month of Sundays. Rankin Bass did, but it didn't do well. So they kind of got out of that field.
So what was going on? We mentioned that the Christmas ones have been shown almost every year since they were first created. But with these other holiday specials, they did some for almost every major holiday. They were just kind of shelved and put away. What was the outcome with them?
The networks look at the ratings. So yeah, if the ratings dropped, they eventually would go off the air. But then they were all coming out on home video and DVD and Blu-ray.
Wow.
One, for instance, is Jack Frost, which has a major following. Robert Morse, my friend Robert Morse,
yeah,
was the voice of Jack Frost. Right.
Yeah.
And that particular special fits more with Groundhog Day than it does Christmas.
Really?
Because Buddy Hackett is part of me, Pete, the groundhog. And
it had Robert Morse and Buddy Hackett in the same special.
Right. And they always had Paul Frees as the villain.
Yeah.
It was always a great voice in anything that they did.
Yeah. They used stop motion animation, right? And so effectively. So the sets that we would see, how big were they in actuality? I always think of the Christmas ones. I think of Santa Claus's, I think they called it a castle, didn't they?
Right.
So like what size set would we have been looking at when they were making these?
It was on a big table. And I've seen pictures of the sets, and basically you can see the 2x4s around the edges of
really?
It.
Really?
And it's so amazing that when they film that, you have no idea that it's a table size set.
No, it just seems vast.
It seems vast, and it seems like a different world.
Yeah.
It really draws you in. And I never really think of the puppets as puppets.
No.
Because they have such a magical quality, a characterization to them.
Mm-hmm.
Either there's great voice actors or they're superstars like Burl Ives or Fred Astaire. So you don't even think of them as puppets at all.
We've talked about this before, but there's no question that the work of Tim Burton is so heavily influenced by these Rankin Bass specials, right?
Definitely. Mad Monster Party inspired Henry Selick, who directed Nightmare Before Christmas. But more so for Tim Burton, it was Vincent Price in Here Comes Peter Cottontail with the goth look, with the leather jacket and the gloves and the iron tail. I mean, that's where Tim Burton really was drawn in, because he loved Vincent Price, and his first short was Vincent.
Yeah.
And Vincent Price narrated it. So that was a biggie for him.
Rick Goldschmidt is here. I don't want to leave this part of it out, Rick, but you've got a big weekend coming up. Tell everybody where you'll be this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be at the Hollywood Show in Rosemont at the Hyatt Regency with Kathy Garver from Family Affair.
Sissy from the Family Affair.
Sissy. We got Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow. I know you had Jerry on earlier this
week.
You
helped with that. Thank you for that. It was an honor to talk to Jerry Mathers.
Yeah, I've been talking to him quite a bit this week.
He's a good guy.
A cool thing is Lyle Wagner's going to be there.
Really?
And, Wonder Woman.
Really?
Well,
Steve Trevor on Wonder Woman. Some people might know him from The Carol Burnett Show.
The Carol Burnett Show for comedy.
Yeah.
But not many people know he screen tests for Batman against Adam West.
Almost got it.
He looked more like the character that Carmine Infantino and Murphy Anderson drew at the time. So he could have gotten it.
Right.
And he could have handled the comedy. So
I'm
bringing a Batman picture for him.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Rick Goldschmidt is here at Rick Goldschmidt. That's his Twitter handle. And enchantedworldofrankinbass.blogspot.com if you want to find it online. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
It's Bill F. and Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy. She'll be back on Monday. Our guest is Rick Goldschmidt, the official Rankin Bass historian, biographer, archivist, and author of all great books about Rankin Bass. What is that we're listening to?
I can't believe Easter's coming up on April Fool's Day so quickly. But that's Danny Kaye from Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which is in probably my top five favorite Rankin Bass specials.
It was real. I remember seeing it as a kid. I've not seen it in years, but it was really pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it touches on all of the holidays, and it actually ends at St. Patrick's Day because he's able to give his green eggs away that the evil Iron Tail Vincent Price changed to green and thought he couldn't get rid of the eggs that way. So it was kind of cool.
Rick, you say your top five. How many, you know, we all think of all the Christmas ones. How many different Rankin Bass specials were produced on TV?
They produced about 30 television specials. They did about a dozen Saturday morning cartoon series, and they did about a dozen feature films and television movies for ABC's Friday night movie, like the Bermuda Depths and the Last Dinosaur, and
some of those were real. I mean, I don't know if they'd hold up, but I remember seeing them originally, thinking these are pretty good.
Yeah, they're entertaining. Yeah. I can say that. And the reason that Arthur did the Bermuda Depths was because he lived in Bermuda.
This
and
was
shot
about
it
the
on
Bermuda
the
Triangle, right?
Right, with Connie Selica
and
Carl Weathers.
Wasn't the guy from the Flying Nun in it too? Alejandro Rey, I think, is his name.
I'm not sure.
You don't remember?
He might have been in one of their movies.
Yeah,
But not that particular one. Actually, Burl Ives came back for the Bermuda Depths.
He did,
and
he
played the ship captain.
Yeah,
it's such a bizarre movie. It's about a giant turtle.
Right. I remember this. All right. So with their specials, they were almost always stop motion animation. But with their Saturday morning shows, they were just regular animation, right?
I grew up on their Saturday morning shows, not even really putting two and two together. But
the
Jackson 5 show, the Osmond show, The Reluctant Dragon and Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
They did the King Kong show. I mean, all of these shows.
King Kong, you know the name of King Kong.
Right.
Yeah.
Kid Power, the Tomfoolery show.
That's quite a lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. They were all over the place.
Monk, right? Tony Shalhoub.
Monk was
he
not
was
there.
Rankin Bass. Wasn't Tony Shalhoub Rankin Bass?
No, you're confusing it. It's
I'm confused.
Not Monk. So that's actually, like I said, they built a really good dynasty of both kids programming and then, like you said, at night, stuff for the adults as well.
Right. I think it was always their dream to make feature films, to do a Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
And they were on that road, you know. The first movie they did was King Kong Escapes with my friend Linda Miller in 1968.
I don't think I know this at all.
Yeah, the Svengoolie shows it sometimes.
King Kong Escapes.
Yeah, where the Mecky Kong fights with the regular King Kong.
Oh.
And it's one of those Japanese movies where the guys are in costumes fighting each other in karate.
Is the Meisterburger Burgermeister in that one?
He's not in
actually,
this.
Paul Frees is in there as Doctor Who. He did the voice. He dubbed a lot of movies, so if it was a Japanese film, he would dub a voice. And that's the first foray into the feature films, and then they did Mad Monster Party and some other things
that
were animated.
Which you've written the most comprehensive book about. I couldn't believe when I was a kid. I loved that movie when I was a kid. We saw it at a Saturday morning matinee. I never thought anyone would do a book about the making of it, and you just pulled it off beautifully.
Well, I had to because it really, you know, I loved when Nightmare Before Christmas came out in the early 90s, and I really felt like Mad Monster Party was the Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein of animation.
Right.
You know, it's
it
just
was
such a fun movie, and Jack Davis designed it. And
from Mad Magazine.
He's my number one artist that I love, and, you know, that was the type of art I was doing in college.
Really?
Because my degree's in illustration, so I became friends with Jack Davis, collected everything that he put out.
All
Mad
the movie
Monster
posters
Party.
And everything. He was so good at making movie posters.
Oh, yeah. Mad World and countless others, and it was just, really, I love the art about Rankin Bass.
Yeah.
That's where they got me. You know, Paul Coker and Jack Davis are my favorites.
Stunning. The work is stunning. I know these dates are coming up later in the year, but please give them out. These are appearances you'll be making.
Yeah.
Talking about Rankin Bass and about the goods that you sell. So where will you be?
I'll be at the Wheaton All Night Flea Market in August.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving weekend, I'll be at the Chicago Pop Culture Convention. That'll be at the Pheasant Run out in St. Charles. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'll be able to talk about some exciting things by that time.
That you can't talk about now.
Right. Some Rankin Bass, really great things that I'm going to be working on this year, and then I'll have the book out by then, the Santa Claus is Coming to Town,
Excellent.
The making of.
That's outstanding. And again, and just a quick reminder, this weekend it's the Hollywood Show Chicago at the Hyatt Rosemont. The best website to visit is hollywoodshow.com/mainchicago. All the information there. Great to see you again. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rick Goldschmidt, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Harry and I are headed to the stream for the bonus hour, or you can keep it right here and listen to Steve. We'll tell you what he's got next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.